Ladies and gentlemen, the Winona Municipal Band. Thank you for coming. We open the concert with a march entitled Bombasto. Thank you again, and for those of you who are regulars with us during the summer, you might notice that the shell has been painted. And I understand it got done as recently as yesterday. So that's how important you are, and a little bit how important we are. It's pretty nice. So thank you, whoever might be out here that had something to do with that. This next piece is entitled Prelude on an Irish Folk Tune. Some of you may, however, recognize this folk tune as a hymn tune that you know. And you know, for those of you who have looked at hymnals, other than the words and the music that you're singing, down below there's always some more information. And it usually tells you, oh, what the verse, how the verses go poetically, and it tells you something about the original hymn tune. And there one day you will find, under one of the hymns that you know, the hymn tune entitled Slane, S-L-A-N-E, which comes from a place in Ireland, an interesting story, because the Confessions of St. Patrick contain a little item that says that the Irish saint lit the Paschal candle on Easter Eve in 433. And this was done in defiance of a pagan king. So, of course, there was music written about the event and about the place, Slane Hill. This piece was actually written, another neat part about this, was actually written for the wedding of a very good friend of the composer, dedicated to his new wife, Barbara Jane. Prelude on an Irish folk tune.
Thank you.
Our next piece is an overture, a great old overture that you'll love because you probably know some of the tunes. It's Rossini's The Barber of Seville. It's a kind of funny thing about this overture because Rossini tried to do a number of different things and finally ended up in Paris writing a whole bunch of operas for about 5 or 6 years. And he got this wonderful award from the government of France and became appointed the official composer of the king and had a wonderful stipend with it, made lots of money, and then suddenly stopped writing operas. And of course he had to leave the country, and he went to Italy and he went someplace else and eventually came back to France where he died. But one of the interesting things about this Barber of Seville overture is that one would think that since it's the overture to the opera The Barber of Seville, that the music in the overture would have something to do with the opera, when in fact it has nothing to do with any of the music in the opera. It's just a great piece that he liked and he decided to reuse the music for another opera. The Barber of Seville, Rossini. Thank you again. The next piece we're going to play for you is a Spanish march, actually a paso doble, entitled Amparito Roca. For years, and I've been doing this, I think this is my 37th year. And for years, I have been telling everyone, thank you. For years, I have been telling everyone, you, the audience, that next to nothing is known about this composer. Well, the internet changes all things. I think some great researcher was here in Winona and heard me say that bit of silliness many years ago and decided to find out something about this man. As a matter of fact, he was a composer, a conductor, and a publisher. He lived most of his life in Baracaldo in northern Spain. Most of his compositions were paso dobles like this. He wrote so many of them, in fact, that's the reason he became a publisher, to publish them, to make some extra money. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? However, this piece, Amparito Roca, has a bit of a mystery, because it was reportedly written by a Reginald Ridewald, a British bandmaster. The original score was under a different title, and there is a written record of it having been performed before this copyright. In other words, the dude stole the music and gave it a new name, Amparito Roca, and there's more to this, just a little bit. Amparito Roca. So when everybody finally figured out who the guy was and what he had done, then they said, okay, what about the title? What is Amparito Roca? It's the name of one of his piano students. We are next going to play a piece entitled Bohemian Scene three Bohemian folk pieces. We have our own resident Bohemian, Dr. Frank, and we want to know if there are others in the audience. Are there others in the audience who would fess up to being Bohemian? Oh, I might have said that wrong. All right, okay. These three pieces, the first of them is a rural dance, the second, a little slower piece, the river, and the third movement is a polka. Bohemian scene, three Bohemian folk pieces.
Thank you.
The great American popular composer Leroy Anderson wrote many pieces for many instruments, solo instruments and groups of instruments, and most of his whole body of literature is featuring somebody, even the percussion playing the sandpaper blocks in a piece called Sandpaper Ballet. But we're not going to play that tonight, percussion. Instead, we're going to feature the clarinet section on his piece entitled Clarinet Candy, music by Leroy Anderson. Next, we're going to do for you a piece entitled Cakewalk for Band. Cakewalk is a kind of dance, and I think it's a kind of a clever way that it got its name. It was about the turn of the century that contestants would actually dance this dance and compete with each other, and the prize was a cake. So the rhythm that is associated with it, you'll hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it just goes on and on. But this particular piece is kind of unique because it actually has a second theme, which is a little ballad, little smooth flowing thing, and then the cakewalk comes in on top of it, and the two run together to the end. Cakewalk for Band, a piece by Edward Madden. I know there's someone visiting here this evening who did not know of these concerts, and we're glad you're here. And so for that reason, I'll say that it is our custom to play at least one Sousa march in every performance that we do. I don't really know how that got started, but we do that. So this next piece is by John Philip Sousa, the George Washington Bicentennial March. It comes from the 30s, which were the marches of the last decade of Sousa's life. And in fact, in 1932, on February 22nd, John Philip Sousa conducted the combined bands of the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps in front of the United States Capitol. He conducted this march for the 200th anniversary of the George Washington's birth. 5 days later, on the 27th of February, he participated in his final concert, and on March 6th in 1932, he died. John Philip Sousa's George Washington Bicentennial March. Thank you. The thing that we now call music theater or Broadway musical, I guess that's the most common term today, started as a thing called the musical comedy. And some of you may remember the Ziegfeld Follies of 1907. I know Jane and I do. There was George M. Cohan. There was Showboat by Jerome Kern. And in 1927, the first musical was set to a literary work, a book. That's how it began to be called the musical. Then Gershwin, Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, Rodgers, Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein. And finally, this man by the name of Martin Charnin, who was a lyricist, walks into a bookstore in 1971 and he finds an old, tattered copy of a book entitled Little Orphan Annie, Her Life and Hard Times. He picks it up, looks at it, and thinks, this has possibilities. He immediately has a meeting with Charles Strauss, the music composer, and a man by the name of Meehan, who wrote the book, in other words, the rest of the show. And they began work on it in February of 1972. It was done by the summer of 1973. And they began their hunt for money. And by 1976, it opened and it ran 10 weeks. And of course, from that time on, we know what's happened because it's still running. It was a wonderful movie. People continue to watch it today. A very popular show, Annie. This little set of selections from Annie includes Tomorrow, It's the Hard Knock Life, NYC, You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, Maybe, Easy Street, and I Don't Need Anything But You. Selections from Annie. Thank you. We thank you very much for coming. You should take a look at the sky from about there all the way up to the quarter moon. Ooh. Thanks so much for coming.
Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.